السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz, Tasmiyah and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyadahullah Ta'ala bin Nasir al-Aziz said, It is due to the immense grace and beneficence of Allah the Almighty that last week the Jalsa Salana UK, the annual convention of the Ahmadiyya community, concluded safely. During all the 3 days of Jalsa Salana, we observed scenes of the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty. Due to some circumstances and also due to the adverse weather, there were some concerns as well. However, Allah the Almighty, only due to His grace, protected us from any negative impact of the situation. And every participant felt that the help and blessings of Allah the Almighty were continually being sent down. Thus, no matter how much we give thanks to Allah the Almighty for this, it cannot be sufficient. True gratitude can only be offered if we constantly endeavor to seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. This gratitude should be expressed by the workers too. By doing so, we will, on the one hand, attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and on the other hand, due to this gratitude, will enhance our capabilities. Likewise, the participants should also become grateful, so that they can also absorb the blessings of Allah the Almighty, and pious changes may continue to occur in their lives. Moreover, the participants should also be grateful to those who were tasked to serve, i.e. the workers. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who is not grateful to people is not grateful to Allah the Almighty either. Thus, due to this, all participants should be grateful to the workers too. Likewise, the workers, as I said, should also be grateful to Allah the Almighty in every way, for Allah the Almighty enabled them to serve the guests of the Promised Messiah ﷺ. Guests who had come for the sake of the faith and guests who had come to gain knowledge. In fact, among the purposes of Jalsa Salana is also this, that such brotherhood and sentiments of gratefulness for each other should develop, which are exemplary. By the grace of Allah, it is these sentiments of friendship, love and brotherhood, when expressed towards our own as well as the people from outside, that leave a mark on every guest. In addition to the intellectual and religious activities, it is the practical example of every Ahmadi that makes a huge impression on every participant. They also express this by saying that we observed an example of the true teachings of Islam at Jalsa, which inspired us greatly. Everyone, from young children to the old, was serving with exceptional sincerity. Likewise, the participants also took part in the Jalsa quietly, without spreading any restlessness or evil, and benefited from the programs. Such a practical example presents a very awe-inspiring sight for a worldly person. The guests who came from outside of the community have also been expressing their views. I will now present a few of their views which they expressed after experiencing the atmosphere. They stated openly that if this is the teaching of Islam, then this teaching ought to be spread in the world. The former foreign minister of Benin and advisor to the president, Mariam Boni Diallo Sahiba, who is currently the advisor and a senior minister, writes that through this Jalsa, I was able to understand the Ahmadiyya community in greater depth. I am greatly impressed by the management of the Jalsa. The standard of management of the volunteers was very high. I was astonished at seeing the sincerity of the volunteers. I examined the management from every aspect. People look at us very critically. However, she says that I did not see any flaw in such a big Jalsa. I scrutinized every department. However, the management of every department was exceptional and of the highest standards. She further says that when I looked at the volunteers, I felt that regardless of being young, mature, old, a man or woman, people from all walks of life were striving to provide comfort to others. Everyone sacrificed their own comfort and was ready to provide comfort and ease to others. I will never in my life be able to forget the smiling faces which found happiness in serving other guests. She says that these wonderful memories are a part of my life. It is my desire that these values are established in our country as well. The Ahmadiyya Jamaat is an educational academy from which the youngsters of every country should acquire knowledge. She says that if I look at it from a spiritual perspective, an atmosphere of brotherhood was found in every direction, which elevated and enhanced one's spirituality. This was an atmosphere which I experienced for the first time in my life, and perhaps the other new guests also experienced such an atmosphere for the first time. She says that merely the Islam which the Jamaat establishes can provide peace to the world, and the solution to the problems of the world is contained therein. She further says that the address of the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community to the ladies left deep imprints on the mind. The status of a woman to other Muslim sects is nothing more than a slave. However, during the address to the ladies, the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat declared women as teachers, and included them in their tasks and the upbringing and education of the forthcoming progeny, which is the future of the world. In other words, the future of the world, as well as the future of religion, rests in the hands of women. She says that women have been given a great status, and only through this can a healthy and peaceful society be established. Then a member of Parliament of Guatemala, Elena Callis, expressed her feelings by saying that participating in the Jalsa was a very unique and astonishing experience. A magnificent change has taken place regarding my thoughts towards Islam and the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. The media has created an utterly false and frightening image regarding Islam, in that Islam teaches extremism and hatred. However, during this Jalsa, we were able to see the practical image of the true and peaceful teachings of Islam, as well as the motto of the Ahmadiyya community, love for all, hatred for none. This is the only way to establish global peace, mutual love and justice in the world. She says that the scene of volunteers serving thousands of guests was astonishing. She also mentioned the address to the ladies, the status of women and the mention of paradise lying under the feet of mothers and women. She further says that in comparison to the men's marquee, I felt greater comfort, ease and freedom in the ladies' marquee. This is the greatest example of the wonderful and beautiful teachings of Islam, that a woman is guaranteed respect, protection and absolute freedom. She says that I am now returning with a peaceful and beautiful picture of the teachings of Islam. Similarly, Sergio Moya, a professor of the National University of Costa Rica, attended the Jalsa. He states, I have witnessed a new picture of Islam through this Jalsa. I have seen a community of Muslims that is exemplary in mutual love and affection, who present a practical depiction of their faith. After returning home, I will inform my acquaintances and my students that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community demonstrates the true and beautiful teachings of Islam in a practical manner, and this community practices its motto. So these people become a source of tabligh, i.e. propagating the message for us. Then Douglas Monterroso Sahib, advisor to the Member of Parliament of Costa Rica, says, I heard the speeches delivered by the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community with utmost focus and attention. I was very much impressed by his advice that when one forgives his enemies and prays for them, his heart is cleansed from enmity and malice. This teaching has been granted to us by the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. He, i.e. the guest, states, this teaching can be a source of establishing peace in the world. I have received immense spiritual and practical benefit from these speeches. I was able to witness the true teachings of Islam and its representation at this Jalsa. Joseph Pereira, the representative of the President of Haiti, says, there were several reservations in my heart prior to my arrival at the Jalsa, such as who knows what type of Muslims they are, and what will happen to me when I arrive. However, all of my doubts and suspicions vanished after I arrived at the Jalsa. Every single person was demonstrating simplicity and patience. There was an aura of brotherhood in the atmosphere. He then states, I am not a religious person, but after attending this Jalsa and meeting the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, my heart concludes that if there is to be a true religion, then it is Islam and Ahmadiyyat. Zokomor Sahib, President of the Human Rights Commission in Burkina Faso, also attended the Jalsa. He states, I was very astonished upon being invited to attend the Jalsa. I thought that I am neither a member of the community nor am I a Muslim. Nevertheless, I am being invited to attend a gathering of Muslims. After attending the Jalsa, I realized that the Jamaat is spreading its arms of love for everyone without discrimination between color or ethnicity. It treats everyone with love and affection. It extends respect and dignity towards all and also takes care of everyone. He states, I have heard addresses of many religious leaders. They speak as if they are the only ones treading on the right path and play with people's emotions. However, I heard the addresses of the Imam of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya with the utmost attention. The focal point of all the speeches was the establishment of world peace. And this is the teaching, he says, that can lead to the establishment of world peace, and through which we can defeat terrorism and injustice. Similarly, there was a lady by the name Katrina Seljak Sahiba in the Croatian delegation. She states, Previously I was a nun at a church, but now I am in search of the truth. She further states, The Jalsa environment, the exhibitions here, and other information about the Jamaat has enlightened my mind. I sense that my journey is in search of the truth will reach its destination soon. She says, The addresses of the Imam of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya have left a deep impact in my mind. Now I have started to review everything with great detail. An international business management student was also part of the delegation from Croatia. He says that he was very impressed with the love and dedication of the organization of the Jalsa. Whether it was the love and dedication of the young children who had their duty in providing water during the Jalsa, or the way the traffic was being controlled in the parking in the bad weather, or the endeavors to maintain the level of cleanliness, all these things left a deep impression on him. He further states that it was the first time he attended an Ahmadiyya Jalsa, but he will keep those memories for the rest of his life. The Jamaat must keep a regular contact with him. An elderly couple from Croatia came last year, who were Muslims. They also attended this year too, and they said to me in our private meeting that last year we attended as normal Muslims, and this year we are attending as Ahmadi Muslims. Hence, there is a great bounty of God Almighty in the Jalsa Salana, as births are taking place as well. A congressman from the Philippines, Salvador Belaro Jr., attended the Jalsa. He holds a high post in the Congress there. He says, It was an eye-opening experience for me, from which I have the opportunity to learn a lot. The most pleasing thing for me was that the members of the community meet each other with the utmost love and courtesy and strived to help each other as much as possible. Thus, our Jamaat must try to continue to have this effect on others, even in normal situations. This is the major responsibility on every Ahmadi, i.e. it should not be a display for few days, but instead they should constantly uphold this effect. He then states that this experience really increased me in my understanding of Islam and introduced me to such a beautiful teaching of Islam which I was not aware of before. Only by attending the Jalsa I was able to comprehend that whatever the media normally says regarding Islam in reality has no connection with the religion of Islam. Then one guest from Ireland, Darren Howlett Coventry, who is the head of Ireland's National Police Services, says, This was my first Jalsa Salana. During the Jalsa Salana, I had the opportunity to meet the determined, helpful and good-natured people of the Ahmadiyya community. He was overwhelmed by the services of the workers, who not only utter love for all, hatred for none, but all the workers and participants practically displayed it through their selfless and voluntary services. He then says that I am truly grateful to you for granting me the opportunity to partake in Jalsa. I had the chance to carefully reflect about Islam and enjoy the programs of Jalsa Salana. He then states that I was very captivated by the poem recited before the address of the head of the Ahmadiyya community. Then a guest from Holland, Mr. Arnold van Dorn, writes that the atmosphere during the Jalsa Salana was very friendly, and I have learnt a great deal from this occasion. I have had some very memorable meetings. There was a scent of positive messages in the air. The full participation of the youth and the unselfish service really impressed me. I was invigorated with a renewed hope after seeing the youths working. I have attended many Muslim gatherings, but this is the first time experiencing all the youths fully involved. Then a senior barrister of the Queen's Council, Mr. David Martin, says, "Whatever I am saying is not my words, but it is the voice of my heart. Up until now, I have never attended a ceremony like this one. The people are so nice and the community is so beautiful. On my mother's side, I am originally Jewish, but I have also been going to the Church of England events. I say with full conviction that never in my life have I witnessed something like the Jalsa Salana." He says that you are presenting a truly beautiful illustration of Islam. I am amazed that a documentary about this Jalsa has not been made by the BBC. I have heard that the BBC are now trying to make this documentary so that the public may be aware of the doctrines, beliefs and lifestyles of the Ahmadiyya community. A guest from Sierra Leone, Abdul Kaba Kargebo Sahib, recounts his impressions that I was extremely enthralled having seen the organization of Jalsa Salana. If I had not come here and someone informed me that more than 37,000 people had gathered in one place for 3 days and that there was no estrangement, I would most likely not believe it. However, having seen this all with my own eyes, I am amazed that I have not seen a single person complain and that everyone is serving with great humility and modesty. Hence, others are very influenced by the workers and volunteers, and it is a silent tabligh which the workers are doing, be they young, old, men, women, or adolescents. These were a few of the impressions of others. Some Muslims also attended who were representing the leaders of their governments. I shall now present one or two of their impressions. Al-Hajj Mamadou Salim Ba Sahib, who is the Vice President of the National Assembly of Guinea-Conakry, or in other words, the Deputy Speaker. He says that he was very impressed with the organization of the Jalsa and the discipline. Despite looking out for shortcomings in every department, he was unable to find any. Despite the organization on a high level and the sheer number of attendees, there were no disorganization, nor there were any fights or arguments. He says that I have had the chance to perform the Hajj and participate in programs in many Islamic countries. Yet, I have never seen such noble and praiseworthy organization, and that this is the true spirit of Islam, which we have witnessed coming here. He then says that the training of the young children is extraordinary. The children were asking if we required anything, and whatever we desired, they would provide us and meet us with a smile on their faces. Not only once, but again and again they would ask us if we required anything. People came from many different countries, yet they would all meet each other as if brothers and close friends of one another. You people are well ahead in your work, and you are the ones who are on the right path. I I have firm faith that God Almighty's hand is with you. On the other hand, there are some people who do not attend, as some worldly reasons prevent them from doing so. He says that, God willing, we will return to our countries and most certainly draw attention of our government to help the Jamaat in all its affairs, in order for your community to guide people in our country too, to the true teachings of Islam. Then there was a Hassan Gita Sahib of Guinea-Conakry, who is the national director of the police. He says, my department is related to the police. For this reason, I made special analysis in terms of security. The organization of the security was excellent, in which I saw no flaws. He says that, after listening to the address of the head of the Ahmadiyya community, I felt proud to be a Muslim. Then a member of parliament of Sierra Leone, Mr. Ali Kaloko, states, Ahmadiyyat is the true representation of Islam. The efforts which the Ahmadiyya Muslims are making to spread peace are much appreciated. In today's world, the name of Islam is associated with terrorism everywhere. However, Ahmadis are proving this assumption wrong. The organization of the Jalsa Salana was excellent. Even very young children were appointed to serve. To witness this was delightful, and in my mind, this scene alone is sufficient to prove the truthfulness of the community. A guest who attended from Turkmenistan, Mr. Abdul Rashid Sahib, says, approximately 2 years ago, my friend and I heard of this community, whose slogan was, love for all, hatred for none. He states, since the day I arrived in London, I have been surrounded by love and affection, as if I am among my parents and relatives. Among the things which really impressed me and left a mark on my heart was one day when we arrived in London from Turkmenistan. We were taken from the airport to the hotel. Once reaching there and being greeted by the Ahmadis giving their duty there, they immediately said that you have traveled to come here and you must be hungry. Therefore, first you must eat and then rest. Upon hearing this, the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to mind. When once a guest came to one of his sittings, then he spoke to his companions regarding him and asked, who will take care of him? Then he related the whole lengthy hadith regarding hospitality. Anyhow, he then says, after attending the Jalsa, I came to the understanding that I have been in search of God Almighty all my life, but I have only found Him after coming here. By the grace of Allah, I was enabled to participate in the wonderful Bayt ceremony and pledge my allegiance. He not only came here, but also took the oath of allegiance. He was very emotional when speaking to me. He then states, whilst I was taking the oath of allegiance, tears were running down my eyes, and these are the tears which did not even fall at the death of my father. It may have seemed that these tears were running for no apparent reason. However, I later comprehended that such a hope has now been created in the world, and a community of hundreds of thousands have been produced that is unparalleled. Through its actions, this community is ready to make any sacrifice in order to protect and purify the world from every difficulty and calamity. When new converts witness the atmosphere of love and brotherhood, it further increases their faith. Winsome William Sahiber, a new convert who is attending from Jamaica, states, the address of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih, and in particular the International Bayt, was an extremely emotional experience. She further states, when I learnt that all the workers here are serving as volunteers, I thought that the Jamaat must encounter a lot of difficulties in regards to their training. However, when I saw these volunteers selflessly working, I realized that this is a divine community and that the Khalifa of the time receives help and succor directly from Allah the Almighty. She continues, I was left astounded, particularly when I saw the volunteers giving duty in the car park, and despite the poor weather, they continue to work with great enthusiasm, and I have never witnessed something like this ever before in my life. One of the mayors of a city in Ivory Coast, Zrakka Dopio Sahib, was in attendance. He states, When I accepted Islam Ahmadiyyad, I had to endure listening to many negative comments from people. I did not have a lot of knowledge of Islam, therefore I would become quite concerned as to how I could determine whether Ahmadis are Muslims or not. He continues, I would sometimes think that whether I have committed a sin by accepting the Jamaat. I contacted the Jamaat and they invited me to attend the Jalsa Salana in order to observe the Jamaat more closely. He states, When I came here, I was able to witness the true image of Islam. All of the Khalifa's addresses started with the name of God and his messenger and also concluded with the name of God and his messenger. Also, all my questions pertaining to whether Ahmadis are Muslims or not were answered by observing the atmosphere of the Jalsa. Now I say with great pride that what I did was completely right. Ahmadis, in fact, are true Muslims, and I am fully content on this. Every action of an Ahmadi is in accordance to the injunctions of the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalid Bilal, who is the mayor of Belmopan, the capital city of Belize, was also in attendance. He states, Attending the Jalsa was an excellent experience. It seemed as if each and every member of the community was assigned to only serve me. This experience has stirred my interest to learn more about Islam. I am taking the teaching of unity and brotherhood back to my country. And this is something that I have witnessed in so many places here. If only I could capture this in my bottle and take it back with me to Belize and share it with my fellow countrymen in Belize. He further states, The arrangements of Jalsa were of a very high standard, and I shall always remember the way I was welcomed here. I shall always be thankful of the fact that you invited me to come here. He also said, One day I was alone in the guest marquee, and a few khuddam, i.e. youths, came to me, and I knew that they only came to me because I had come from outside of the community and would perhaps be feeling alone. This had a very deep impact upon my heart, as the youth are aware of how one should treat their guests. The international bayt also has a profound effect on people outside of the community. I have already mentioned an incident in regards to this, but I shall relate another incident. A member of the National Assembly of Croatian Parliament, Mr. Auch Koik Domango, attended the Jalsa, and regarding the international bayt, he says, I was greatly impressed by the international bayt. I have attended the faithly confirmation in the Christian faith many times. However, the emotions, sincerity, and the resolve to display loyalty to one's faith, which I witnessed during the international bayt, was a completely surreal and astonishing experience, which I shall remember all my life. Then an Egyptian, Dr. Hani Rashwan Sahib, said that he arrived at the Jalsagar around the time of the international bayt. Upon witnessing the human chain, he was visibly moved and amazed. He was unable to comprehend the level of organization and dedication, commenting that such organization would be impossible in his native country of Egypt. His emotion overcame him, and he joined the chain of bayt and recited istighfar, seeking repentance, and that the Arabic verses behind Hazur. Although this was of course not a conversion to Ahmadiyyat, but was an intense spiritual experience which he was overcome with. However, he has said that he shall now ponder in regards to this. The Jalsa attracted a lot of attention from the press and media. After being greatly impressed by the Jalsa atmosphere, Even the press is now compelled to publish correct reports on Islam. Sonia Delisalli, who is a journalist of a French paper, Liberation, relates her impressions by saying, "When I first arrived here, I was quite concerned because the men and women had been segregated. However, when I visited the Jalsa arena, I noticed that instead of women, the men were preparing the food. I then spent some time in the ladies' section of the Jalsa Gah, and I realized that due to their separate arrangements, they had more freedom. And above all, they were completely independent and did everything as they wished. Thus, some of the young girls living here, who in the name of education or freedom, claim that they are being treated unjustly, need to ponder over this, that even those outside of the community appreciate our atmosphere." Another journalist working for a national news channel in Bolivia expressed his impressions by saying, "According to the West, Islam holds women back and they are considered to be given no importance. However, I saw that the head of the Ahmadiyya community was giving awards to women who had achieved notable success, and each person was individually being called up by their names. Upon witnessing this, I had the desire to go back and write about this in the newspaper, because there is not a single leader in the world who has delivered an address only for the ladies. Never." Another journalist began to repeat the words that were being recited during the international bath. Upon being asked, she said, "I do not know what happened to me at that time, and never in my life have I ever experienced such feelings and emotions, and instinctively I began to repeat the words. Prior to this, I used to think that music was necessary to arouse such emotions in gatherings like this. Without music, it is impossible to arouse such emotions. But during the international bed, I saw that these emotions were pouring out from the hearts of Ahmadis, and there was no need for any kind of music." Another journalist from Bolivia, Carlos Jaime Orias Saeb, states, "The one thing that impressed me the most about the Ahmadiyya community is their passion and efforts to establish peace. This is a message which is extremely important and significant in this day and age. Similarly, the efforts of the Ahmadiyya community to unite people of different nations and cultures upon the true foundations of Islam is praiseworthy." He then further states, "I was also greatly astonished by the fact that such extensive and large-scale arrangements were made by efforts of volunteers. From this, it is evident that regardless of how difficult a task may be, through faith, sincerity, and selfless endeavors, it is possible to achieve." He then states, "The head of the Ahmadiyya community delivered an address on the responsibilities of men and women, and this address removed many doubts in my mind. I had also understood the wisdom behind the Islamic teachings in regards to men and women." He also states, "It was also very delightful to see the Ahmadi women acquire notable achievements and success, and this proves that it is incumbent upon both men and women to strive to achieve peace in the world, starting at a family level and progressing to community, country, and then on an international level." He then states, "The concluding address was important for the Ahmadiyya community, but equally important for the world at large and for all the nations of the world." Thus, the atmosphere of the Jalsa and the atmosphere created by those giving duty impresses every fair-minded individual. May Allah the Almighty reward all those who offer duties, and also the attendees who are part of the silent preaching of the Islamic values. We must remember the thousands of male and female volunteers, including boys and girls, men and women, in our prayers. This year, due to the rain, and even generally, there were some deficiencies in the arrangements. But despite this, the volunteers worked with great wisdom and diligently to not make us feel those deficiencies. although at times the water supply was stopped, but generally the arrangements were much improved. The majority of those who attended the Jalsa and then wrote to me about their impressions have written positively, but there were some who had some complaints. But as I have said, it's always possible to have some deficiencies when temporary arrangements are being made on such a large scale. Nonetheless, all of the volunteers, including men, women and children, are worthy of our gratitude. I would also like to say to the administration that all of the complaints or matters that require attention which I am sending to them should be noted in their red books, and they should seek to make further improvements for the future. Similarly, the press has given very good coverage of the Jalsa. Through the media outlets, 358 news reports have been published about the Jalsa Salana, and this is still increasing. The message of Islam was conveyed to 36 million people through online media. 21 million were conveyed the message through news reports on TV and radio, and 2 million through print media. Apart from this, the message was conveyed to 58 million people through social media. My concluding address was aired on MTA live stream, and around 250,000 people watched this address via live streaming. Thus, according to a very conservative estimate, the message was conveyed to over 128 million people. Some of the more prominent media outlets which gave coverage of the Jalsa Salana include BBC TV, BBC Radio, ITV, The Independent, The Times, Sunday Express, London and Evening Standard, New York Times, Facebook Live, Associated Press, Press Association, Special News Agency EFE, an Indian news agency called PTI, and French news agencies included Liberation and Unilet. Thus, we should express our gratitude to Allah the Almighty for this extensive coverage of the message of the Ahmadiyya community and the true message of Islam through the media outlets. The Jalsa Salana was also given coverage in Africa. Apart from MTA Africa, 10 other channels showed the proceedings of Jalsa Salana, and in total, the coverage from across different countries was over 150 hours. Through these channels, approximately over 60 million people watched the proceedings of Jalsa Salana. These 10 channels showed the international bear, and also all of my addresses live. Sierra Leone's national TV showed the proceedings of all 3 days of Jalsa Salana, continuously for a total of 100 hours, and in Bow and Kama, they turned off their local programs to show the entire proceedings of the Jalsa Salana. In this way, the whole country was able to see and hear the Jalsa proceedings. Also, for the first time ever, Gambia's national TV showed the speeches of Jalsa Salana and various other programs. Aside from the live broadcast of Jalsa Salana, BBC Uganda covered the Jalsa Salana in Swahili language, which is viewed by a large audience. In this region, there is a viewership of approximately 20 million people. Through Ghana National Television, as well as radio and news reports, the coverage of the Jalsa Salana reached approximately 5 million people. Including all the TV and news reports of the entire African media outlets, the news of Jalsa Salana reached approximately 35 million people. All of this is due to the grace of Allah the Almighty. Our efforts only amount to a fraction of this. For our part in this, I am very grateful to our press and media section, as well as the press and media section of other countries who also made an effort. May God Almighty reward them all. These reports published on a wide scale prove beneficial in the form of tabligh, i.e. propagating the message. May Allah the Almighty enable us to always fulfill our responsibilities, and may we always give precedence to our faith over all worldly pursuits and fulfill our responsibilities in this light. One aspect which was left out that I would like to mention now is that just like last year, this year again, Khudam from Canada came and took part in the work and clear-up of the Jalsa site. On this occasion, they chartered a plane carrying approximately 300 to 350 people. They worked very hard and had been working for 4 or 5 days from the conclusion of the Jalsa until yesterday. They managed to clear up a substantial amount, and whatever small amount remains will be cleared up by the Khudam of the UK. In fact, they have already started since yesterday. May Allah the Almighty reward all of them. The Khudam of Canada, who arrived before Jalsa, I hope they listen to all of the Jalsa proceedings. If they have not, then this is absolutely wrong. Therefore, if they wish to come in future, then they should listen to the Jalsa proceedings throughout the 3 days, and then they should partake in the clear-out program. May Allah the Almighty reward them, as well as all of the workers, both men and women. May He grant us the opportunity to adopt all the teachings that we learnt during the Jalsa Salana and include them in our lives. After the prayers, I will lead some funeral prayers in absentia. The first one is of Mrs. Sahibzadi Zakiya Begum Sahiba, who was the wife of Colonel Mirza Dawood Ahmed Sahib. She was the daughter of Nawab Amatul Hafiz Begum Sahiba and Nawab Abdullah Khan Sahib. She passed away in the Tahirat Institute on the evening of 23rd of July 2017 at the age of 94. To Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. She was the wife of Sahibzada Colonel Mirza Dawood Ahmed Sahib, who is the son of Hazrat Mirza Sharif Ahmed Sahib. In this way, she was the granddaughter of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, as well as the wife of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's grandson. She had been quite unwell for the past 3 to 4 years, and in fact, she had been admitted to hospital for the past few months. By the grace of Allah, she was a Musia, i.e. part of the institution of Al-Wasiyat, and had been a Musia for a long time. She has 5 daughters. From among them, Amatul Shafi Beg Sahiba is married to Mr. Mahmood Ahmed Khan Sahib. Who is the grandson of Nawab Mubarakah Begum Sahiba. Similarly, Amatul Nasir, who is the wife of Sayyid Shahid Ahmed Sahib. Amatul Musawir, who is the wife of Dr. Nuri Sahib. Amatul Muiz Sahiba, who is the wife of Manzoor Rahman from USA. And Amatul Nasir Nigat, who is the wife of Raja Abdul Malik Sahib. May Allah enable her children to increase in piety and righteousness, and also continue the virtuous deeds of their forefathers. Mrs. Zakiya Begum Sahiba had the opportunity to serve as a Sadr Lajna, i.e. President of the Women's Auxiliary Organization for Muhammad Ali Society. Even during her stay in Kohat, she had the opportunity to work for Lajna. Nawab Amatul Hafiz Begum Sahiba wrote an article about her children, in which she praised the deceased, stating that after Nawab Abdullah Khan Sahib passed away, she, i.e. the deceased, looked after her and helped her mother with great care, and she emphasized this fact. Dr. Nuri Sahib writes, "Hospitality was one of her great attributes. She would cater for every guest without any distinction between them, and also welcome them." Dr. Nuri Sahib further states, "When I devoted my life for the services of the Jamaat after my retirement, she said that it was a great desire of mine that should I be bestowed a son, I would devote him. Now that you have dedicated your life, you have fulfilled this wish of mine. May Allah the Almighty elevate her status and shower His mercy and forgiveness on her." The second funeral is of Mr. Tariq Masood Sahib, who was a missionary serving in the Nazarat Islawar Shad Markaziya, and the son of Mr. Masood Ahmed Tahir Sahib. He passed away in Rabwa on 24th of July at the age of 27, after being electrocuted by a high voltage wire. To Allah we belong, and to Him shall we return. Ahmadiyyat spread in his family through his paternal great-grandfather, Mr. Meher Baksh Sahib, who was from Rajouri, Kashmir. Mr. Meher Baksh Sahib accepted Ahmadiyyat at the hands of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, radiallahu anhu, in 1920. Tariq Masood Sahib completed his matriculation examination from Taleem-ul-Islam High School in 2007, after which he gained admission into Jamia Ahmadiyya. In 2016, he completed his FA examination and graduated from Jamia Ahmadiyya in 2014. He was a very young missionary, but extremely sincere and had a pious nature. He would look after his parents, friends, and also the poor and needy. Despite his minimal allowance, he would help the poor, and many of them mentioned this after his passing. After 3 or 4 days, he was due to be married. However, God Almighty called him to himself before this could happen. Aside from his parents, he is survived by 3 brothers, Mr. Ashfaq Ahmed Zafar Sahib, Sarfaraz Ahmed Javed Sahib, Atau Rahim Sahib, and 1 sister, Fozia Masood Sahiba. His mother writes, "He not only actively gave his chanda, i.e. obligatory contribution, but also reminded us to pay ours." His father states, "He had a deep love for Khilafat and a very pious individual. He was regular in offering his prayers in congregation. Even before he became a missionary, he would urge the family to be punctual in offering prayers. After the Fajr prayers, he would regularly recite the Holy Quran. Upon seeing him, we would feel embarrassed at our shortcomings. He was a very obedient son. He would conduct himself with great love and never argued with his parents. Even if he would disagree about something, he would present his argument with great respect. He held great honor for the institution of Khilafat. If anyone would utter anything against the administrative organization of the Jamaat or the status of Khilafat, he would stop them immediately. If they would refuse to stop, then he would leave that gathering. May Allah the Almighty elevate the status of the deceased and grant steadfastness to his parents. The third funeral is of respected Shakil Ahmed Munir Sahib, who is the former missionary in charge of Australia and was currently residing in Karachi. He passed away on the 31st of July at the age of 85. To Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. He had the opportunity of translating the Quran in Maori language. He belonged to Munger, which is situated in the province of Bihar in India. His father was amongst the first Ahmadis of Bihar who performed the Bayt, i.e. the oath of initiation of the Promised Messiah in 1906. However, he was unable to perform the Bayt at the hands of the Promised Messiah. His father served as a Nazir Talim in Qadian for 10 years. Respected Munir Shakil Sahib gained his early education from Talim al-Islam College in Qadian and Lahore. He then attained an MSc in Physics from Dhaka. And soon after this, he began working in the education sector. He spent a long time of his employment in West Africa. During this period, he served the faith in various capacities. He also served as the Chief Education Officer in Nigeria's Federal Ministry of Education. He served as the Regional Sadr, i.e. the head, for the eastern provinces of Nigeria for almost 8 years. Alongside his wife, he launched the Nusrat Jahan Academy, and this school or college was one of the first to be launched under the Nusrat Jahan scheme. He was very keen to perform tabligh, i.e. preaching the message. He organized 2 very successful interfaith symposiums in Nigeria. During his stay in Nigeria, he wrote many books on Islam and Christianity. Islam in Spain, Shroud and Other Discoveries about Jesus, and the Reformer Talim al-Islam course book are among some of the books he has written. He even constructed a mission house in Nigeria from his own expenditure. On the basis of one of his dreams, he devoted his life. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah, reproved his waqf, i.e. life devotee scheme, and appointed him as the first Amir, national president and missionary in charge of Australia. Thus, on 5th of July 1985, he left for Australia. There were certain difficulties in attaining his visa, as they did not easily grant a visa to Muslim missionaries. However, through the efforts of Dr. Ijaz ul Haq Sahib, he obtained the visa and began his work. He played a vital role in the construction of the Bayt al-Huda Mosque, which is a very beautiful mosque in Australia. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah, laid the foundation stone of this mosque on 30th of September, 1983. Despite the unstable financial situation, he ensured the construction of this mosque took place through Vakari Amal, i.e. voluntary work, and also worked himself. In fact, during one of these Vakari Amal sessions, he fell off a ladder and fractured a bone in his arm. However, despite this, he continued with the construction of the work of the mosque. As a result, a large and beautiful mosque was constructed. When he arrived, there was nothing there except for a shed made of tin, and this was where the Jamaat bought the land for the mosque. Both husband and wife stayed in this tin shed. On one side they would offer their prayers, and on the other side they made a roof out of fabric and lived in this condition. They lived in these conditions with great patience and demonstrated a lot of sacrifice. In 1991, he was transferred to Nigeria and served as the principal of Jami Ahmadiyya. In 1989, during the celebrations of the centenary of the Ahmadiyya community, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah, launched a scheme of translating selected verses of the Holy Quran into 100 languages of the world. Australia was assigned the responsibility of translating into Maori language. At the time, the standard of the translation was not adequate. In fact, the translation of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, i.e. in the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful, was written in the name of Jesus. He informed Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah, that the translation is incorrect. He then learnt the language in his old age and completed the translation. In 2013, when I visited New Zealand, the Maori translation of the Quran was complete and was presented to the Maori king. He was also present during this function. He was a very humble and selfless person. There was no hint of arrogance due to his intellectual abilities, nor the fact that he had translated the Holy Quran, therefore he should be given some precedence. He was very affluent in worldly respects, and even served as a missionary without an allowance. May Allah the Almighty shower him with mercy and elevate his status. May he grant his wife patience and steadfastness. May Allah the Almighty continue to grant us missionaries in the future who are also completely selfless and humble in every respect.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر